Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And you know what you do? You say stuff then you wouldn't say no other time. I said, I saw that baby turn around in your womb. And then I thought, did I really see that baby? And then Faith said, did you or didn't you? And I said, I did in the spirit. He said, well, that's enough. Hallelujah. My wife said, I saw it too. Praise God. Amen. Woman called us, went back to her doctor and said, you know something? We're not going to have a breech birth. You're about to not going to have a cesarean. You're not going to have C-section. That baby's turned around. The umbilical cord is not putting it in any jeopardy at all anymore. Everything is where it's supposed to be, and she had a perfectly normal birth. On a Wednesday night, a lady came from Land of Lakes. Hallelujah. God is good. Just say thank you, Jesus. It's all right. God is good. God does these things. God gets the glory. Gift of faith is something God drops in. Hallelujah. God is a gracious and a good God. Amen. So a lady from Land of Lakes came with cancer in her intestines, and they were going to have to take out so much of her intestine to get rid of the initial cancer. That didn't mean she would be cured. It meant that this terrible area of attack would be removed, and she would have to have a colostomy, wear a bag for her bowels to move for the rest of her life, because there wouldn't be enough good intestine to reconnect. It was that far advanced. She came on a Wednesday night from Land of Lakes. She came to a service. Again, there was one of these afterglow type situations, and God was moving by His Spirit. We had double, triple dismissals, but God wanted to do something. Finally, she figured out, if God is moving like this, I'm going down. Amen. So she came down. We laid hands on her. She didn't tell me what her problems were, except that she had some serious physical issues. We just prayed over her, asked God to heal her. Lord knows what's wrong with you. He's able to heal you. Amen. She walked away, and it was about a year after that. I was going through one of those times when I wondered, is what we're doing down here all that significant? We've never had anything to make us influential, in any big way. And I thought, Lord, sometimes I'd go through these times of wondering, are we doing the right thing? Are we in your will? Are we flowing with you? And I got a letter in the mail from Land of Lakes. And the lady said, I was standing in my church this morning giving a testimony to what God did for me at your church a year ago. And she related this story, said, I had this scheduled for colostomy, said, but I was there on a Wednesday night service. I stayed, Spirit of God moved. I went back to my doctor just to check things out, and he took another look at me. Couldn't find no cancer nowhere in my body. Couldn't find nothing wrong with my intestines. Canceled my surgery date. Amen. She said, it's been a year. And I am standing in my church giving a testimony, and it occurred to me, I need to write that pastor a letter and tell him what God did for me. Not what the preacher did, but what God did for me in the name of Jesus on that Wednesday night service down in that little church on 10th and Sitka. Thank God for the little church on 10th and Sitka with the big God who has moved mightily. He's proved something to us down through the years that it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. See, it just doesn't matter to God. Amen. A crowd don't turn God on, and two or three people together don't turn Him off. Where two or more are gathered in my name, all the ingredients for the miraculous and the powerful work of God are present. Hallelujah. There am I in the midst of them. And then right after that, he says, and if two of you with my presence in the midst, amen, agree on anything that they shall ask, it'll be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? Incredible, powerful things happen. So you don't have to be a name evangelist. You can wear a T-shirt like mine that says Lifestyles of the Poor and Obscure. Not really poor. They won't even let me say I'm poor at work. They won't even. I mean, people don't even go to church. I'll say something about, they'll say, Brother Venable, you look tired. I said, well, I'm poor. I got a beer. PO means simply I got to pay bills. Anybody here that has to work to pay bills or need a check or anything, you're not filthy rich, in other words. Amen. I know God can make you rich, amen, if He chooses to. I realize that. I've never seen everybody get rich in my lifetime yet, but if that's what He wants, I'm open for that. I mean, I'm open for that. I'd like to prove to Him that I could handle it and stay humble. Amen. But every time I even mention anything, they say, oh, no, you're not. Everybody, I mean, it is so good to have other people, amen, telling you how good God is. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I just love Him and serve Him in spite of any other circumstance. And it must impress the world about us to see people who make God their source. I have a joy that you can't buy with money. I have a peace that you can't purchase with gold and silver. I have a God that can heal cancer and heal me of leukemia, or I wouldn't even be alive to enjoy anything today. You want to talk riches? Amen. If Bill Gates gets cancer, and he's the one that said there just isn't time in his life for God or religion, he said it would be a waste of my time for these empty pursuits. That's what Bill Gates said, who is worth $38 billion. Billion, amen, dollars. That, I mean, you know, there are third world countries whose national budget isn't that much. But he's worth that. And yet this man is not rich in faith. So according to Jesus' analysis of this man, he's poor. He's miserable, he's blind, and he's naked. Though he's wearing an Armani suit, he's naked. He's blind and he's poor. Amen. But he said to the people that were actually having to be financially oppressed because of their Christian faith, he said, I know your poverty, but you're rich. Can you say amen? So when we start defining riches biblically and spiritually, it goes far beyond the material world. Can you say amen? It's got to exceed the material world. When I hear people just relegating God's blessing on material wealth, I think, don't you understand true riches? Don't you see what there is in salvation? Don't you understand eternal life? Don't you understand the resident Holy Spirit who lives within and who can satisfy the soul, amen, better than anything at Tiffany's? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Breakfast at Tiffany's may be one thing. Amen. But the Lord's Supper is something else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. His body, His blood being honored. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I will do extraordinary things for a people that trust in me, bow to no other God, yea, consecrate themselves before me and believe me, saith the Lord. I will do mighty things. I will do things, yea, way beyond what you could think or ask. Yea, I will do mighty things because I am God, and above me there is no other. Yea, trust in me. Expect me to move because I desire to move, saith the Lord. And yea, even thy eyes shall see, and thine eyes shall behold what I shall perform, and you will know that I am God, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep saying these things to us. Keep saying it. He just keeps saying it. Amen. He keeps saying it because he wants us to have a spirit of expectancy. Everybody say a spirit of expectancy. Glory to God. I'll tell you, the devil wants to stop that, but God wants it to grow within you and grow within me. So I'm going to just read. Turn with me real quick, because if I keep preaching, I won't even get to the scripture. I usually preach messages warming up to the text. And sometimes I don't read the text. So today I'll read the text so we can put it in context. Amen. James 2, 17 through 20 says, even so faith, James 2, 17 through 20. By the way, now when we read this, it's going to be in the context, not as some are using. The predominant, I'm going to give you, we're going to move off of this kind of secondarily without doing any injustice to the scripture. But what it's saying is you can't really get saved and not have any corresponding works. You're saved by faith, but you're all called to good works, and you can't exhibit saving faith without repentance, without a desire to let God change your life. There has to be corresponding works to salvation. That's what James is talking about here. He's not talking about just how to get stuff from God. Although, there is a principle here concerning faith in general, and that is faith without works or corresponding actions is dead. It will do you no good. It will not honor God, and God can't move in behalf of a faith that isn't attached to activity. Amen? So much happens when faith is connected to activity, when we act on the Word. Everybody say, act on the Word. Just acting on the Word. Living a life of obedience is acting on the Word by faith. That's it, and because we desire to please the Lord. But listen to it in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I like the word tremble here in the Greek because it means a fear to the degree that the hair stands up on its end or causing the skin to crawl. This is a terrible fear. They know they are going to account to God, and they tremble at the very thought of that. But verse 20 says, but thou wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. The Amplified Greek says deeds and activities and actions of obedience to back it up. I think the best definition of works here is simply corresponding actions. Acting on the Word of God. Everybody say acting on the Word of God. 10 lepers come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, heal us. And Jesus, in His great compassion, He heals them. But how He heals them is really interesting to me. Because He heals them by giving them the Word of God, in the sense that He was God speaking as God to them. He said, go and show yourself to the priest that you are healed. And they were not healed at that point in time. Or at least it wasn't manifest. They still had leprosy. And these men with leprosy were supposed to go to the priest because you had to go and disrobe in front of them and they could visually inspect you before you could enter back into Jewish society without crying unclean and backing off so people could back off of you when you got in proximity to people. You had to go and let the priest authorize you back into Jewish society to keep the contamination from touching other people. 10 lepers were told to go to the priest and open their robes and let them visually inspect them that they were healed. And when He's told them to go do it, they could have looked at their own skin and the leprosy was just as real as it was when He spoke to them. Are you still here? Are you listening to what I'm saying? But the Bible said they begin to act on what He said. You know, sometimes people desperate will start just acting on the Word after a while. Now, we got this attitude, if I don't see it, if it hasn't happened, see, we got to understand something about God. Abraham knew it. He's a God that raises the dead, which means He's a God that knows no boundaries. See, raising the dead was just, that was the ultimate. I mean, making the sun stand still was a pretty big deal, but raising the dead was a bigger deal than even that. That said, God doesn't just have power over the universe. He has power over the netherworld. Can you say, man, He has power over life and death and the human soul and its destiny. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Abraham said, if God says it, He can do it. Amen. There's nothing too hard for Him. Amen. The reason He took him at His word is because He said He knows something about God. He's a God who raises the dead, who knows no limits in terms of His power. He's omnipotent, 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 omnipotent. Can you say, man, He's not just powerful. He's not just so powerful. He's all powerful. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? So Abraham said, the reason I take Him at His word is because He's a God who raises the dead. And He does other things too. This is His MO, His method of operation. He calls the things not as though they were. So once He's authorized the healing, He asked them to act on His word for the healing to take place. He said, go and show yourself to the priest that you are healed. Amen. For as I'm concerned, it's done. But it's going to be your act of faith that allows me to manifest it in your life. Amen. And the Bible said, as they went, somewhere, as they went. That is so incredible to me, how God does those things. My son came home one time. I know this is in no way, nothing near that, but Matthew had somehow, I don't know how you get a bunch of those moles that come on you. They're not the black moles. They're different. They're warts. They're just warts. He just had warts come up and down both arms. They got so bad, we tried to freeze them off, you know, and we put that stuff on them, and kids at school started to make. He wouldn't wear a short-sleeved shirt to school. He was in maybe the sixth grade. He wouldn't wear a short-sleeved shirt because kids made fun of him. They were all up and down both arms. And I was in the kitchen when I remember standing in the kitchen. I was making a cup of coffee, and he come home from school in hot weather with a long sleeve shirt on. And my first thought was, you know, get the stuff to put on him again and try getting them suckers on. And I thought, yeah, and it just occurred to me, why don't we just curse these things in the name of Jesus and get rid of these things? Amen. Now, you know something? I believe God dropped that in my heart. You know why? Because I believe slaying lions and bears. It's vital and important to faith when it comes to slaying giants. Some of these little things that you see God do can prepare you for the giants in your life. David didn't just say, I'll take care of this giant. David said, I'm experienced in faith and God's faithfulness. Listen, they said, have you seen the size of this Philistine? And David said, it doesn't matter the size of this Philistine. Can you say amen? They said, David, you don't understand. He's this tall. He weighs this much. I mean, they had him. They had his armor weighed. They had the length of his spear, his lance, amen, down. They had his height right on. They said, David, do you understand? You're a reasonable man. You're not a nutcase. Do you understand what you're going up against? He said, listen. He didn't listen. I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. Amen. A lone lion roared against the sheep, and David was out there watching the sheep. And the Spirit of the Lord, this was after he was anointed. After he was anointed by Samuel to be king, there was a resident anointing upon his life. That oil didn't just run down and evaporate. There was an anointing, amen, that stayed with him. The oil can get off of you, but what God puts in you, the anointing literally means a rubbing in. It's not something that rubs on. It's something that rubs in. It gets inside you. Can you say amen? And it wasn't just on David. I'm not saying he had the Holy Ghost like the baptism, but he was anointed. And the Spirit of God came on him, and he went out and killed that lion. And now when they told him about a giant defying Israel, amen, and then they began to tell him how terrible this man was in battle, he said, have you seen the size of this man? And David calmly and confidently responded by saying, I've slain the lion. And I've slain a bear too when he tried to hurt the sheep. And who is this uncircumcised? You can see it, the attitude. Everybody say attitude. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I didn't know God could work like this, I may have a problem with the size of this man. But out there where nobody but me and God was, amen, a lion roared, amen, and God's Spirit came on me, and I was able to take that lion down. What a surprise to the lion when a ruddy-faced shepherd boy with a shepherd's rod, amen, tore him apart. Woo! So he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Hallelujah. He said, you're not just Saul's soldiers out here. You don't just belong to Saul. Hallelujah. This is a covenant people. Amen. This army that's standing out here cowering before this Philistine giant. These are not just, amen, the soldiers of King Saul. These are the covenant people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you say amen? He's not just defying Israel. He's not just defying King Saul. He's not just defying the military. He is defying the God of Israel. Hallelujah. And who is he to defy the armies? Did you realize he said all these troops out here, amen, these are armies of the living God. When they fight in his name, they're not armies. They're not just the patriots of Israel. They are the very armies of the living God. They have spiritual, amen, assistance in battle. How many know the armies of the Lord have spiritual assistance in battle? They don't just fight in the natural. There's something supernatural that's involved with them. And that's way back in the old covenant. Have you seen the size of this man? David said, it's a mood issue. Because I've what? Slain the lion. I've what? Slain the bear. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It's winning some of these little battles that prepare you for the giants in your life. And I'm going to submit to you, if we don't win more of these little battles, we're not going to be ready for the giants in our life. Amen. It wasn't a matter of just warts. In time, by applying the right stuff, eventually they probably would have went away. But God wanted to show me something. God wanted to show my son something. God wanted to do something as a result of faith so that when the real big giants come, amen, like cancer in my dad's prostate, we could see these mighty miraculous works of God. Hadabakoro, Mishalama. Amen. We get so self-sufficient in our high-tech world that we don't realize we need to start winning some of these lesser battles. Can you say amen? Amen. So that we don't have to pull out an unused, rusty faith when the big things come in our life. Can you say amen? But we've been active in faith along the way. Some days, if God drops it in your heart to believe him for something that you could take care of another way, but he just wants to prove himself to you. Amen. Just go ahead and act on that. Can you say amen? Just go ahead and let God show who he really is so that when the giant comes, amen, and the size is supposed to be intimidating and overwhelming and get you to back off, you can say like David, I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're standing there in the kitchen and I know God must have dropped it in my heart. Just said, curse these things in my name. And so I said, I'm going to curse these things in the name of Jesus. Get these things off of you. And he said, okay. I mean, he's ready. He's, you know, 12 years old. You're so sensitive to other people's opinions. They already laughed at all them things on his arms. Amen. He took off that long sleeve shirt, and I went and got anointing oil, and I put it all over those things. And I said, I curse these things. I said, you're little low-life organisms. I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. Command you to get off of my son's body. Amen. I finished my coffee. He went on out and did whatever he did. About 2 days went by. And on the third day, he came home from the bus stop. And he came home out of breath. He had run all the way from the bus stop home. Amen. And I happened to be there when he got in from school. He says, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I mean, he was excited. I mean, he was like a monkey on drugs. He was excited. Amen. I tell you, he gets excited when God does something. Amen. He said, I went to lunch today. I went to the lunchroom. I got ready to eat lunch. And I reached out my arm, amen, with my fork. And I looked. Daddy, Daddy, they were gone. He said, I reached out my other arm, and they were gone. He said, I rolled up both my sleeves, and they were gone. He says, look, Daddy, they're gone. And sure enough, they were gone. Amen. So we just stood in the kitchen and said, Lord, this may seem so little and insignificant to many people, but I see it as slaying lions and bears. I see it as letting God do something supernatural so that when the time comes when nothing less than the supernatural will do, we won't have old, rusty, unused faith, uncertainty. Amen. But we'll be able to say it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. The God that took them warts off his arm can take a cancer out of your body, a tumor out of your brain. Amen. That God is God and he is almighty. Can you say amen? And listen, when God moves on something by his spirit, it don't matter if it's a wart on your arm or a cancer in your pancreas. It just doesn't matter. When God dissolves it, God dissolves it. It's the Spirit and he knows no limits. We pray for headaches kind of nonchalant, and we pray for cancers with huge volume, enthusiastic voices. Listen, all it takes is God to move. It makes no difference. There's nothing too hard for him. He doesn't see what's a big deal to us is a big deal to him at all. And he wants us to get into an area where we say, Lord, if you want to drop faith in my heart for something that I could probably take care of or have taken care of, but you want me to see you move, I'm open to that. I want to see some things in my life that just let me know I'm still connected. My faith isn't rusty and crusty. I don't have to try the first thing in a time of crisis is get my faith to working. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want my faith well oiled. I want it running smooth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I know giants will soon show up. There's no way you can live in the promised land. Amen. Without vast armies coming up. Overwhelming circumstances arising. You just can't live in God's blessings without being challenged. That's why I know Canaan is not in any way associated with heaven. Amen. It's just the promises of God, the blessings of the Lord. All the perimeters of His promised blessing is our spiritual Canaan. Canaan had to be taken by force, and Canaan had to be held by force and defended. Can you say amen? The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence, even though God wills it and wants it, we still have to take it by force. And the kingdom of God, amen, will always, the blessings of that kingdom will always be challenged in my life and yours. They never just lived without a challenge. Someone would always challenge them. But God was always up to the challenge. When they turned to God, He never let them down and He never let them fail. They stayed right with God. God defended them. And His name was glorified. So that the nations of the world, not only did we say, who has a God like our God? They begin to say, who's got a God like their God? Hallelujah. Who has a God like that? Praise the Lord. But faith without corresponding actions is dead. What if the 10 lepers said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to act on the word. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. So I'm not going to act on the word. It was as they went. He tells a man to do. Listen, Jesus didn't have to have a man go wash in the pool of Siloam. 10,000 people could have went, blind people could have went and done the same thing and not got healed. Because He didn't tell them specifically to do it. He told this man, this is how I want to heal you. And this is how I want your faith to be activated. I want you to act on my word. He tells a guy, he says, you know, here. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Guy says, I want to be healed. He says, and boy, you can't put him in a box, can you? I mean, we see him healed one way one time and we want everybody to be healed that way. Listen, it's highly personal and highly subject to the sovereignty of God. And in all faith, obedience is attached. So develop a heart for obedience, a life of obedience, because in every act of faith, God is much more concerned about your obedience to Him than just meeting your need. Amen? Your humility, your obedience, your sensitivity to His voice. Amen. So if you want your faith to really work well, get real humble before the Lord. Amen. And start listening to Him. Start straining to hear what He tells you. I mean, if you're going down the road and He says, I want you to see Sister Hoopendicker today. She's really had a bad day. Amen. Cut the wheel over and go see Sister Hoopendicker. Just get into a life of obedience. Can you say amen? I know Sister Hoopendicker. I hope there's nobody by that name. I picked an outlandish name. Probably is somewhere. I'll probably get a letter or a call or a lawsuit. Can you say amen? She may be a mean scutter, I started to say, but we had a Sister Scutter, and I can't say that. I'm still convicted over that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But just go do what He said. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, simplifies it. Amen. He could have made wine out of nothing. He could have made wine and the receptacle for the wine. He's God Almighty. Amen. But He always asks man to do some act of obedience. Amen. By faith. Everybody say an act of obedience by faith. Not just an act of faith, but an act of obedience by faith. Noah moved by fear. Amen. Built by faith. Built an ark. Moved by fear, by faith, built. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So you know, they're at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. They run out of beverage. He says, bring me, amen, these big, huge vessels. And they start bringing them, and they're confused. And they said to Mary, his mother, they said, what does he want with these? And Mary simplifies the theology of faith. You can get a book that thick, or you can get a sentence from the mouth of Mary. Mary says, whatever he says to you, do it. Nike has sold a lot of shoes by saying, just do it. Which means when it comes to exercise and being a jock and being athletic, if you think about, do I want to go to the gym today? You'll never get to the gym today. Do I want to jog today? You'll never jog today. Do I want to get up on my stair stepper? I wish I had. All of the exercise equipment in Hillsborough County, sitting under beds and in closets. We'd sell that stuff and build a fine church. Ain't it the truth? I wish I had. I can't tell you that. Somebody might hear the tape. Anyway. You can have a $1,500 Bowflex, honey, but if you don't watch what you eat and get on that sucker, I got news for you. Amen. You're still going to suffer from an acute case of abdominal protrusion as a result of severe cornbread consumption. Can you say amen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just do it. It sounds so simple, and it is simple. But it takes a real commitment, doesn't it, to just do it. How many's ever decided, I'm going to go on this particular diet? All I got to do is do it. So I'm going to do it. And after you just ate that full meal, and you're so full and satisfied, just doing it seems so simple. But the next day when that stomach is growling and you drank that concoction with everything in it, and you didn't get to chew it and smell it and cook it and drink iced tea with it and cornbread and sop it with cornbread. I could never survive on a liquid diet. I got to chew on something. I haven't eaten if I hadn't chewed on it. I don't care if it's got everything. I hope they never produce a pill that gives you everything you need and you don't need food anymore. Everything's in the pill. I don't want that. I want to gnaw on a bone. When I'm eating my ribs, I want to know. I mean, there's sometimes. Jesus said, kill the fatted calf. There's times of celebration. We need to go ahead and eat some beef. Anyway, moving right along. Just thought I'd bring that to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not all the time, but let's get a lot of people saved. We can have a lot of barbecues. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Get our loved ones in. Kill the fatted calf. Hallelujah. My son comes in, we'll kill the fatted calf. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll cook ribs. How about that? My wife will soften them up in the pressure cooker so I can't overcook them on the grill. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. He said, go show to yourself to the priest that you were healed. And as they went, they had to do something by pure faith. And pure faith was acting on the word of God. Can you say amen? They had to walk along, headed for the priest. And I'm sure it occurred to them, what if we get there? And there's no change, how foolish we're going to look. But I believe they were in a situation where they said, what have we got to lose? I'll tell you, when you're shunned by society, when you've got a death ward over you, a slow, devastating death, it's no time to be concerned about your pride and how people view you and whether you're going to be humiliated or not. It's time to get down to business with God. If there's any hope of God healing me, of this man speaking truth, amen, let's give him the opportunity to prove himself by acting on his word by faith. And as they went, I love that, as they went, they were healed. Man that has to dip in Jordan didn't expect to have to dip in Jordan. God that went to Pool of Siloam, Jesus spit on the ground. And when he spit on the ground, he took where he spit and he took and he made mud out of his spit and soil. And then he took, honey, I'm going to tell you something. There are churches that would tie you up, take you to the door, show you out and bar the door to you if you did any foolish thing like that. Amen. And yet Christ, the God of the universe, the Creator, nothing made that He didn't make, He decides, you know how I'm going to do this? I'm going to do something so outlandish and so foolish to the eyes of men, amen, that they won't attribute to anything but God. He spit on the ground. Amen. He took and made mud out of the spit, put the mud in the man's eyes, and he said, go and wash in the Pool of Siloam. Not just any place. Don't just go where there's water. Go to that particular pool and wash in that water. Was there an angel troubling that pool? No, Bethesda's where the angel come in trouble once a year because the church was so dead. Nobody knew there was a God till the angel showed up once a year. Can you say amen? The church couldn't produce anything supernatural, but God said, even if the church can't, I'm still God. Hallelujah. So once a year, he said, look, I'm still on the throne, and I'm still in business. And when the revival come, they'd already knew there's still a God in Israel. Can you say amen? But it was that man's opportunity to express his faith by acting on the words of Christ. It's God's way of getting him to release his faith, to teaching him obedience, to having him to act on his word and do something that made no logical sense. The healing wasn't in the mud. The healing wasn't in the spittle. The healing wasn't in the Pool of Siloam. The healing was in the Word of God, acted on by faith. Thank you for the holy murmurs. Hallelujah. Huh? Did anybody else go to the Pool of Siloam? Did he spit in anybody else's eye? No. Did that man come seeing? Yeah. Because he did it. Don't do something foolish. There's some people getting the Word of God, go on long fast, and get absolutely crazy in the name of faith. In Texas, Tampa Tribune, AP Wire Service, so it was in all the national papers. Three women were stopped by the highway patrol in a pickup truck in Texas that had supposedly got filled with the Spirit, and now God was showing them things, revelations in Scripture. And they had read something about, something. Anyway, they'd read something in Scripture about mustard seed faith. And they read something in Scripture about, the man and woman were naked, were not ashamed in Genesis. They read something about mustard seed faith in Matthew, something in Genesis about the man and woman being naked and not being ashamed. So they stripped naked and put mustard on themselves, trying to be obedient to God. And they were driving down the road, singing Christian songs, naked with mustard smeared all over them. Now, Highway Patrol looked and did a double take and decided, this is going to cause a wreck on the highway if I let these women go any further. And they took them to jail, amen, for indecent exposure. And they should have prosecuted them for stupidity, but there was no law on the books for that in Texas. That's stupid. That is absolutely letting the devil make a fool out of you in the name of faith. I'm not talking about doing foolish things in the name of faith. I'm talking about getting sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit and committed enough to the Word of God that when God speaks something to our heart, we are set on ready to do it, because it's in the doing it that the blessing comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God. God drops it in your heart to curse them warts. Curse them warts. I know you got medication in the cabinet. Curse them anyway. Hallelujah, because that faith that causes you to slay the lion and the bear prepares you for the giant that surely is going to show up one of these days. And when he does, amen, you will already know what God can and will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to quit in just a minute, but some early manuscripts. Well, let me just read this. Our enemy's strategy is to deceive and distract us from using our faith, for he knows that faith without works is dead or inactive. Some early manuscripts render faith without works is useless. And boy, he really elaborates in the book of James. He says, even it's as dead. Everybody say, how dead is it? All right, I'm glad you asked, because James addresses that. He said, just like the spirit, the body without the spirit is dead. If you want to know how dead a faith is that doesn't have corresponding actions to live that out, express that, he said, go down and look at a corpse laid out on a slab. It's that dead. How many know that's as dead as you can get? That's not limping along as a Christian. It means it's dead. So when people get saved, there's got to be some works. That's what James is saying. You can't get saved without, amen, with the total disregard for the will of God. You may struggle with it. You will struggle with it. But you won't struggle with his lordship. You know he has, amen, the authority to tell you what is right, tell you what is wrong. And you begin, because his seed remains in, you begin a life, amen, that will involve a struggle. But it'll be a struggle between your weak flesh and your reborn spirit. Amen. And through Christ's help, you'll overcome that weak flesh. Eventually, amen, in every circumstance, you can overcome anger. Amen. I don't care if you're red-headed, not-headed, whatever kind of headed you are. Amen. And you can use that as an excuse for anger. Amen. I'm Irish, and my daddy was Irish, and that's why I'm an alcoholic. No, you're an alcoholic because of sin, and sin can be forgiven, and sin can be conquered. You don't belong to the devil anymore. Can you say amen? It don't matter what's in your genes, because there's new blood flowing through your veins. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Doesn't matter about your old genetic. Listen, it's not about your family tree. You didn't just get saved. You got a brand new family tree. Hallelujah. Your little old branch goes all the way back, amen, to a root that came out of the stem of Jesse. Amen. And his name was Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. You got a new daddy. And hallelujah. In the physical world, you can trace your lineage to Abraham. In the spirit realm, you can trace it to God himself. Hallelujah. Amen. God can change your life. God can change your desires. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Glory to God. People are always taken back because we don't just lay on hands and get it all done. So the Assyrian captain with leprosy, same situation. Stands at the door of the prophet's house, seeking healing from the God of Israel. He has this thing in his mind already played out how it's going to happen. This guy's going to do some incantation over his, wave his hand over his head. You see the correlation between laying on of hands. Amen. Do you realize that no matter how anointed anybody is, whether it's even Jesus, if we don't begin to act on his word by faith, there's not enough anointing in the world to get you healed if you're not receptive by faith, if the word is not acted on. Can you say amen? That's why Jesus gave people something to do. Or they just went ahead and did something, he responded. He's walking on water. He knows they're in jeopardy. He's God. I mean, if he can walk on the water, he knows what's going on the boat. Amen. The boat's about to sink. Peter's looking over the ramparts. Thought he saw a ghost out there. And the Bible said, and Jesus would have passed him by. Come on. You've got to use faith, folks. Amen. Jesus says, if you're okay with that, I'm okay with it. Amen. But if you want some help, you're going to have to cry out. How many believe you got enough faith to cry out? I do. It's real easy for me to cry out. Jesus, is that you? Because they know if that's Jesus, everything's going to be all right. So he says, Jesus, is that you? And he said, yes. He said, if it's you, if it's really you and not an apparition, bid me come to you. And Jesus says, come on. And he acted on the word, got out of the boat, stepped out on a stormy sea, and walked on the water, just like Jesus. But then he was distracted. A lot of people say he was distracted from just keeping his eyes on Jesus. But Jesus didn't say, keep your eyes on me and get out of the boat. He just said, come. It was a rhema word. It was an anointed word. He was acting on the word that caused the supernatural to take place. Are you listening to me? Listen, you can look at Jesus all day long, but if you don't get out of the boat, you can't walk no water. Hello? But the Bible said the moment, and I want you to expect this, and I fully expect it, and it's even happening now if you want to know the truth. I won't go into detail, but it's happened. When you step out on the Word of God, and you open the door for the supernatural to take place, in the confines of His will and purpose for your life, you can't just do something as some kind of, you know, you just have to be, what He wants to accomplish, if it takes the supernatural, He is the God of the supernatural. When you step out on the Word of God, whatever storms there are in your life, they're going to intensify. The barometric pressure is going to drop. The winds are going to pick up. The waves are going to get rougher. You know why? Because now you can bring glory and honor to God in the answer. Can you say amen? You can declare that your God is God because only God could do what He's going to do in your life. Can you say amen? So you can count on the... It said that Peter, when he noticed, was distracted by the fact that the wind and the waves were exceedingly boisterous, exceedingly strong. I mean, it picked up. I mean, it stirred up when he got out there. Amen. Then he began to sink. Satan is depending on his distractions, causing us to break focus on the Word of God. Yes, we need to look to Jesus, but in looking to Jesus, we need to act on His Word. Sometime it's good when you don't feel anything and you just can't see any difference to just take the Word of God at face value. Just say, this is what God said. I don't see it. I don't feel it. My mind is telling me that God isn't listening. It ain't going to happen or it can't happen. But this is what the Word of God said. This is what the Word of God said. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. Man in all of his intelligence and ingenuity is like a blade of grass and the flower of the grass that comes up and the sun scorches it and it goes right back down. But God's Word is not just powerful. It is eternal in its quality. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But the Word of God will abide forever. That's how powerful and permanent it is. So when you take it at face value, you are not just jumping to conclusions. You're concluding to jump. Can you say amen? When you walk out on the Word of God, you open the door for the supernatural. And when you do, the enemy is going to kick it up. Because he don't want you to keep that focus. Because he knows what's going to happen if you do. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Amen. Things are going to happen in your life that can only be attributed to God Almighty. Woo! I love it. Listen, I love to see a doctor's jaw just drop. And his eyes start twitching. You know what makes that happen? When something happens beyond the realm of his expertise or his expectancy. And you tell him you've been praying and trusting God. Amen. And something happened that only God could do. They really hesitate to use the word miracle. You know what they used in me when cancer left my bloodstream? Leukemia got up and left in 24 hours, packed up and was gone out of my bloodstream. You know what they called it? Spontaneous remission. You know what spontaneous remission is? It means it was there one day. And the next day, it got up and left. We don't know how come it got up and left, but it just got up and left. It did it in a 24-hour period. We cannot explain it. Of course we can't, as thinking, intelligent men attribute it to God and prayer and faith and the name of Jesus. Amen. It just decided to leave. Amen. Cancer that decimates and devastates young lives just decided to get out of my body and pack up and leave. Why do you think it decided to spontaneously leave? It's because Jesus told it to go. Can you say amen? Because my mama took me by the hand. Amen. Waited in a long healing line. Hallelujah. At the Tampa Revival Center years ago. Amen. Led me to an evangelist from Texas praying for the sick. Amen. Going to tell him about leukemia. But he already had it in the vision. And when I got before him, the word of knowledge and the gift of faith and the gift of miracles came alive in him. Because God wanted to bless me. Not because he was great, but because God is good. Can you say? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. A man that was pretty much illiterate about medical things. So my mother went to tell him, my son is being diagnosed. And she got the word diagnosed out. And he got the word of knowledge simultaneously. He didn't even let her finish. He interrupted and said, I command cancer in this young man's blood to leave this body. And I command it to go. I curse it. And I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. That's called spontaneous remission. The name of Jesus causes stuff like that to happen. Honey, that is supernatural. That is not chemotherapy, bone marrow transplant. That is spontaneous remission. That means God answered prayer. And in the name of Jesus, amen, my body was healed. You say, Brother Bimble, how did he do it? Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. Did he give you a transfusion? Have no idea. Did he give you new bone marrow? Haven't got a clue. Hallelujah. Don't care. Doesn't matter. Amen. All I know is the next day I'm not jaundiced. My liver doesn't have hepatitis along with a complicating factor of the cancer. I am not weak and I am not jaundiced and I am not pale and I am not sickly. Amen. I am strong. Amen. Go ahead, Pancho. Find your ball. We're going to play ball today. Me and my wiener dog are going to have a day out. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget old Pancho. He lay outside and chased his own tail. He had such energy because I couldn't play with him. I was too weak. Oh, but I come out and Pacho said, wow. Amen. And I said, wow. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, for that simplistic, childlike faith. Nobody ever told me at 8 going on 9 that God didn't work miracles anymore. Nobody deprogrammed me from the supernatural. My daddy used to grab me up, amen, put on my little bow tie, amen, and take me to the Oral Roberts meetings when they were in the tent. And I stood in an old sawdust floor, amen, and watched demons being cast out. I went to A.A. Allen's meeting. I went to Jack Coe's meeting. I saw, amen, the supernatural. I know some of these men got off later in their life, but I'm telling you, it let me know something about God. There is a God in Israel. Amen. The name of Jesus is mighty in battle. There's nothing too hard for my God. Hallelujah. And when you start slaying some lions and bears, a giant comes along and you look at the giant and say, listen, this ain't nothing for God. Hallelujah. This ain't nothing for God. This ain't nothing for my God. Hallelujah. And you can act on His Word. While you're standing real quick, because I stopped early. That's why we're having a long closing. You have prayed in faith, and I have seen faith in your heart, and I have heard your cry. Now prepare yourself to act upon my word. For I will show you in my scripture, and I will speak to your heart. And when you act on what I show you, I will move by my spirit. And you shall see the glory of God. Did not I say unto you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And how did they believe? Simply by rolling the stone away. Could you roll a stone away? Could you do the simple thing so that I can do the supernatural? That's what I was going to tell you about. If you believe me, you'll see my glory. Did they just holler, we believe, show us something? No, they expressed that faith by acting on his word against reason and logic. Because by now, Lord, they reasoned, he stinketh. We move that stone, the terrible stench of a decaying body. It's going to overwhelm everybody near. This opening, it's going to be so embarrassing, especially for the family that loved him, to smell the stench of his decaying body. It'll add to their grief, all the reasonings. But if anybody else said it, if it wasn't a divine command, you just don't fool around. But if Jesus said it, hallelujah. He said, if they said, Lord, by now he stinketh. He said, roll a stone away. They said, by now he stinketh. He said, did not I say unto you, if you believe, you'd see the glory of God. They were not going to see a pillar of fire or a big light. They were going to see God raise the dead. They were going to see the supernatural acts of God manifest in the lives of people. I'll tell you, when someone comes in here bound by alcohol and they've been given up and give up on theirself and given up on life and God sets them free, we are looking at the glory of God. Can you say amen? Somebody comes in here with inoperable cancer and that cancer gets healed. Amen. Like that lady in Land O'Lakes. Hallelujah. We just saw the glory of God. Nerve deafness is healed and the ear open. We saw the glory of God. Demons crying come out. We saw the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Did not I say to you, if you would believe? And they understood what they needed to do. They said, he asked us to do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Just do it. Hallelujah. So at his word, amen. Listen, let me finish this. Let me finish it. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. He says, go out and cast the net on the right side of the boat. Hallelujah. Amen. They said, but Lord, it don't matter which side we cast it on. But Lord, it don't matter. The fish are gone. They're just not out there. They're not feeding. They're not in the middle of the lake. We can't find them. We can't find. We've toiled all night and hadn't even got one fish. But then he was looking so serious at them. Amen. They said, oh, but since you're saying it, we forgot. Oh, Lord, it's you're saying it. Oh, it's not just something we're going to do. It's not something we dreamed up. It's not part of our imagination. It's something you're saying. It's your word. Oh, well, that's different then. Oh, forgive us. We just about missed it. It's what you say. Nevertheless, we've caught nothing. There's no reason for any fish to be there. No hope that they're going to be there. But nevertheless, at the word. We're going to go back out in that lake. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to take the net. We're going to cast it on the right side of the boat. Amen. We're going to act on your word. Everybody say, act on his word. Hallelujah. Against hope, believe in hope. And act on his word. Abraham staggered not at God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, because he knew God was able to raise the dead and call the things not as though they were. So let's just act on his word. Change your name from Abram to Abraham. Before you got any kids, call yourself the father of a multitude. Because God said, I'll multiply your seed, make them out the stars in heaven. Hallelujah. In multitude. There's a hyper faith movement that tries to use faith to manipulate, use it just as a force, instead of just trusting God and becoming obedient. There's a humbling before the Lord. Amen. Like the rich man that had to dip in Jordan, not five times or six times, but seven times. And his healing didn't come until the seventh time. Specifically, obedient by faith to the word of God. Hallelujah. But when he came up out of there, amen. I believe a key to many people's healing and deliverance is not just finding a super anointed evangelist or pastor. I believe it's finding that place of sensitivity in God where we become obedient to his word. Can you say, man, by faith we begin to obey his word? Oh, how many people can receive if we just all begin to move into that realm with God? I want to start getting sensitized. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. My life is such a blur with my schedules. Amen. It just seems like I'm on a treadmill. But I have got to carve out time. I've got to find that quiet place. Amen. Where I become super sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Halabaki selama. So much is dependent upon hearing his word clearly and with clarity and doing it. Praise God. One thing is in my heart. If I know, if I can be still long enough to know that he's God, that he's talking to me, be still and know that I am God. Halabakushalava. Amen. If I know it's God, I believe I can act on his word. How about you? If you know it's God, how many believe that God wants you to begin to slay some lions and bears so that when the giants come, he can receive the glory that David brought him to the God of Israel? Would you join hands tonight in hearts? What a good God we serve. You glad you came tonight? Are you still have this morning's thing? Would you put number three, two up number three? We'll just have that in closing since we're getting out before 8 tonight. Hallelujah. I have been hesitant to mention faith maybe even as often as I should, simply because so many people or preaching what I call a hyper-faith message. If you don't understand that, I don't have time to theologically clarify it all. But there's a message out there that puts you in control in the name of faith. And clearly where faith is really used in Scripture, God is always in control. We are always humbling before him and becoming obedient. So there's more to this thing of faith than just getting what I want. It's always in the context of getting what he will. The good news is God wills to help you, wills to clothe you and feed you like a good father. Can you say amen? Wills to do good things in your life. Hallelujah. But we always approach him with a deep sense of humility and dependence and a readiness to obey his voice. So if there's any rebellion in us, we bring it before him when we come before him with needs. And we say, Lord, there's been areas of my life that I haven't been surrendered to you, and I'm coming to surrender these things to you because I want to be your servant. I don't want to manipulate you and just use you. I am truly a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. And I worship you with my life. Let's worship him these few moments. I believe great and mighty things are going to happen. I believe Holo Sabada. Ninda, Father, we praise you. We worship you. We give you honor tonight. Will you join hands with one another? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because certain doctrines of Scripture has been abused, there is a danger that we throw out the baby with the bathwater, that we back off from from confession and believing God, acting on the Word, because some people are using it in a manipulative, self-serving way. It's the same way with tongues. Some people are abusing legitimate gifts of the Spirit for their own personal edification instead of to glorify God and edify the body of Christ. Amen? But that doesn't mean there isn't a genuine and a legitimate. Some churches have banned the expression of the gifts of the Spirit altogether because people have abused and brought reproach. So they've said, let's have none of it. And in so doing, have barred God from the supernatural in that audience. You will hear good theology. You will see no God moving. You will hear promises read, but you will not see people delivered nor set free. There's good men and women preaching a sound doctrine, but it's void of the expression of the presence and power of God in the lives of the people. And even defeats by the devil is now relegated to the sovereignty of God. Everything that comes down the pike is to be received, because if God didn't will it, it couldn't happen. There is an enemy of your soul that must be rejected and resisted. Can you say amen? There is a destroyer. Ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, hallelujah, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these many years, be set free in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. Ought is the word that comes from the root that means to owe to. It means this is a woman, is a seed of Abraham. Halabakoshala. God has a covenant with the seed of Abraham. Can you say amen? Halabakoshidama. Children's bread belong to them. Ikalabata. And deliverance is part of the children's bread. Hikolobo. This is something we have by birthright. Hanabakisala. This is not something, amen, left up to the sovereignty of God. This is something God in His sovereignty has willed and provided for us through Jesus Christ and the covenant. Hallelujah. And the blood covenant. And in the face of so many religions, so many battles against Christianity, we need a manifestation of the living God as we declare Jesus, just as much in this generation as in the first. It's not enough to have a book. We need the God of the book, hallelujah, to manifest Himself. How many know we still need God to move to verify His Word? Hallelujah. No unbeliever can demand a sign, but every believer, amen, said signs will follow them. Can you say amen? Not because the unbeliever demands it, but because we believe it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to be everything that I am declared to be through my word. I want to be unto my people, hey, and all that will come unto me and look unto me, all that my word has declared me to be. For what my word has declared me to be, so I am, saith the Lord. I am eternally, I am, and I always will be. And I have not changed, saith God. Put your trust in me, and I will be unto you as I was to David. I will be unto you as I was to Abraham. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be your God as well, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. Thank you, Lord, for taking the warts off my son's arms. So we were in the emergency room with a high blood count and don't know which way to turn. We did turn to you, and you healed my son and brought him out of that emergency room. Thank you, Lord, for healing the warts on his arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's join our hands. We'll try to leave one more time. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're a people that you're leading and guiding with your eye. You're leading us into your word, and you're showing us wondrous things. Hallelujah. So simplistic we stumble over them sometimes, but they're right there in your word. Help us, Lord, to take these things to heart. Hallelujah. And let them become part and parcel of our life, part of the fiber of our very being. Interweave these great truths into our minds and into our hearts. Hallelujah. So that when anything arises in our life, Father, we'd go back to the principles we've learned and the person that we're looking to for victory. And let Your name be glorified. And let the heathen around us know, and the gainsayers, there is a God in Israel. And we'll praise You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah.